Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, episode number 110, entitled 5 Steps to Mastering Sleep and Beating Insomnia, I chat with digital nomad and best-selling author Danny Flood. Danny and I discuss his 5 best strategies and techniques for getting a better night's sleep and beating insomnia or any type of sleep issue in any type of environment or situation. Whether you have a sleep problem or whether you just want to have a better night's sleep every single night, you have to check out this fascinating episode. Hey man, I have some fantastic news I want to share with you today. I just put the finishing touches on my free online seminar course. My online seminar course is amazing and it will help you become the elite man you are meant to be. The man who has his passion and purpose in life. The man who can master his career, his relationships, his dating life, his confidence. All of these things that go into being a man, I put together into a 60-minute jam-packed, action-packed course that will help you become that man. This is the experiences and the journey and all the lessons I've learned over the past 10 years of my personal transformational journey I put into one course, and this is free online. Go to elitemanmagazine.com/webinar and sign up for this free online training right now. Spots are limited, so make sure you act now and select a time to sign up as soon as possible. You don't want to miss this jam-packed, action-packed, incredible free training to help you become the man you are meant to be. elitemanmagazine.com/webinar. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from elitemanmagazine.com, and my guest today is digital nomad and best-selling author Danny Flood. Danny, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Hey, Justin. I'm so glad that we're able to connect. I'm grateful for you, and thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely, man. It's a pleasure of mine as well. I know I kind of reached out, I don't know, a couple of months back we connected. I forget how, I think it was over Facebook or something we connected. And, you know, I started looking at your site, looking at your blog, Open World Magazine. I thought it was really cool. And I definitely wanted to have you on the show to follow up with some of the topics you cover. So for anyone who actually, you know, doesn't know about what your site is, can you just kind of talk about what you do and how you kind of came up with that as quickly as possible? I hate to, like, you know, stay on this for too long because I want to get into the topic we're going to cover today, which is hacking sleep. But just kind of like a 60-second rundown of what you do and how you came up with it.
Yeah, sure. So Open World Magazine is kind of, for me, it mirrors my process of learning and development as I have become an entrepreneur after graduating college. And I decided that I was really inspired back then. I was reading books like 4-Hour Workweek and listening to, hearing stories of people doing these crazy things around the globe. I felt so inspired. And I've been a permanent traveler now for, I guess, since I was 23 or 24. So it's been almost, I guess, about 7 years now. And I've been living in different places of the globe. I started out in South America. I was backpacking around there. I've been in Asia. Living in Thailand now, where I'm based. Just flew in last night back home. I was traveling for over a month around Indonesia. And basically, you know, like, I think that traveling is the best teacher, and I think that life itself is the best teacher. And with this magazine, I really just kind of feature a lot of inspirational people, people that inspire me, you know, news that empowers you, that you can learn from, has actionable advice that you can apply to your own life to step into the shoes that you're meant to fill and kind of just find your destiny out there in the world, you know, because nothing ever happens inside of your comfort zone. So that's a little bit about what we're about, what we publish on our site. We have a podcast as well. It's at openworldmag.com, and love it if you check us out.
Awesome, man. Yeah, thanks for going over that and kind of just telling our guys a little more about yourself. And as I mentioned a minute ago, I wanted to talk today specifically about how to hack your sleep or how to get a better night's sleep, how to feel more energized. And I know you're kind of the guy to talk to when it comes to this, Danny. You actually have a book about this entitled, I believe, Hack Sleep, correct?
So yeah, so that's one of my most popular books. I published 5 books, and I've been featured on World of Lucid Dreaming. I've been featured on Super Fast Business. A lot of people have been wanting to ask me about hacking sleep, because it's one of the things that's most vital and essential for your health, your well-being, and your success. When you sleep well, everything, you know, you're firing on all cylinders. Everything goes your way. When you don't, you know, I've wrestled with this problem for many years, so I don't need to elaborate, but it basically throws your whole life into chaos.
Yeah, and how do you become sort of like an expert in this to the point where you can write a book? Like, what have you gone through? What sort of transformational or what sort of knowledge have you learned across, you know, the period of time where you've been able to master your sleep? What sorts of mastery have you gone under to kind of be in that position to help others now get over their sleep problems or get a better night's sleep?
Well, that's an interesting question, and there's quite a secret answer to that, I think, because I think that what most people don't understand is that if you want to learn something well, you should teach it. And that's the way to retain most of the information. There's something called the learning pyramid, and you're much more likely to retain the information that you get if you teach it to someone else, or if you just tell someone else. You discuss it with your friends, maybe your mastermind group, and then you actively practice what you learn. So I think that if you really want to become an expert on a topic, that you shouldn't read a book about it. You should write a book about it. And for me, I just had enough, you know, like enough was enough, like, because I was trying my best. You know, no amount of affirmations or positive thinking can reverse the effects of being an insomniac, because it's just, you just feel like you can't engage your day. You have to cancel social engagements, things like this. You know, you have to, you know, it really messes with your life. And so I spent like 9 months or so, perhaps even longer, just trying to get this issue of my life resolved once and for all. And I researched, I don't know how many different sources, maybe over 60 resources, and, you know, just trying to find the information that could fix my problem and give me what I wanted. And so I did all these experiments on myself, and I had great results, actually. When you put it all together, you know, it had really powerful effects. And last year, I think for a period of about 4 months, I was actually practicing polyphasic sleep, which was the most productive period of my life. And this was something I really needed, Justin. You know, even like the last month or so of traveling, it's been difficult to sleep, because I was in Bali, and my second day there, my wallet got stolen. And so I've been, for weeks, I've just been living on like limited cash, you know, and couch surfing and stuff like this. And if I didn't know these sleep hacks, I would be a lot worse off. I would say that. Yeah. I mean, I've slept everywhere, to tell you, you know, over the last few years. So
that's insane, dude. I know we were kind of just talking for a few before we went on about, you know, being in another country and having your wallet stolen. I think is probably one of the worst things that can happen to you. It's just like totally insane. It's almost like your livelihood is taken from you. It's like, what the hell do I do now? But I mean, you were able to overcome it, man, and it's pretty cool. It's a cool little story, and I think going forward, definitely one you can kind of look back at and laugh at now, even though it's probably scary as hell in the moment.
Yeah, it was, and I think a bunch of things just kind of happened at the same time. Like, I had some business issues at the same time. My laptop's Wi-Fi card broke about the same time as my wallet was gone. So basically, I was like twiddling my thumbs, you know, I couldn't work or anything like this. And just making the most of it, you know. But I heard a great quote that grief is the garden of compassion. So, you know, if you have to experience sorrow to experience real joy. And so I just try to keep myself level-headed through it all. But going back to the topic of sleep, I've slept everywhere. Like, I rode a motorcycle across Southeast Asia, you know, and I'd sleep in barns and stuff like this. Or I slept in a sauna once, you know, and sometimes, like, I feel like my body just doesn't want to fall asleep, you know, like, it just, if I'm in a new environment, like, there's some primal instinct that will kind of keep me alert, you know, keep me half awake so that I can't sleep, because it's like looking out for potential threats in the night. And so it's been something that, you know, I still put a lot of focus on even now.
Yeah, no, that's interesting too. And I'm
Thinking back now, man, I know personally I've fallen asleep in the sauna a number of times, just like nodding off for a couple minutes. And it's like, whoa, shit, I got to get out of here. It's like, I don't want to pass out in this thing. It's like, not, it's like, I don't know, 140, 150 plus degrees in there. And
well, this wasn't by choice, though, and it certainly wasn't on, but it was in Vietnam, actually, during the Tet Festival.
Yeah.
So they have the Chinese New Year in Vietnam, and everything's booked, you know, and I just show up on my motorcycle that I bought, and I couldn't find any accommodation, but they said, well, we have a sauna room available. You know, you can check it out, let us know if that works. And yeah, so I just basically just did that for like two nights, and they put a mattress in there for me.
Wow. That's insane.
So it was a fun experience. Yeah, that was like 4 years ago. I don't think I would still want to do that today, but I'm really glad that I had adventures like this when I was a little younger.
Yeah, it's definitely some great stories to kind of look back on. So, Danny, you've battled yourself then with insomnia, and this sort of led to you coming up with the solution. It kind of reminds me, too, of my battle with anxiety and depression and struggling with that for a long period of time, but then realizing that I had to figure this out. And like you, I wasn't an expert in those things at all, but I just went out, made the conscious decision that I'm going to figure this out, and spent about 6 months of my life just dedicating myself to figuring those problems out, and I did. And, you know, like you, I wasn't a master, and I wouldn't consider myself a master of those experts of those topics now, but I am pretty resourceful on those things, and it sounds like you are too. So am I correct by saying that, like, you had a lot of problems with sleep, and you had, you know, insomnia and all those other things, which, and it led to kind of the path that you're on now?
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely a huge pain point. It was the biggest pain point of my life. And it was, you know, I don't need to expand on this. Like, someone who's having poor sleep, like, they already know how bad it is. And just, like, having to, like, cancel, you know, appointments and having to not go out, not having the energy to go out and see your friends at night, you know, and having to schedule your whole day around how well you slept the night before. And so I still kind of do this to some extent, actually, because I've come to the realization that the more engaged I am with my day, the better I'll sleep at night, because there's something called adenosine. And there's two things. Like, there's adenosine triphosphate, and adenosine triphosphate provides life to all of your cells. So the more busy and the more engaged you are doing difficult work, you know, time-consuming, fatigue inducing work during the day, the better you sleep at night. It's actually an interesting thing. So a lot of what I do, you know, trying to be as productive as possible, helps me to sleep better at night, interestingly enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, weird how that works. Like, you use more energy during the day and you sleep better at night, and adenosine triphosphate is the ATP, right?
There's confusion there. They're actually opposites. So adenosine triphosphate, and Tony Robbins talks about this a lot too in his work, actually provides life to the cells, and adenosine consumes adenosine triphosphate. So it actually makes you more tired. And we actually knew of the presence of adenosine 100 years ago in 1907, where there was a theorist, Henri Piron, I believe his name. I have more about this in the book. He's a researcher, a French researcher, who would walk dogs through the streets of Paris at night, and he would keep these dogs awake. So they were just exhausted. And then he would take the spinal fluid from these dogs and injected it into normal, healthy dogs, and found that the other dogs slept well at night. And so they hypothesized that there was some kind of sleep toxin that accumulated during periods of waking hours that helped to put us to sleep. And that's what we now call adenosine, interestingly enough.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's other factors too, besides the adenosine, like melatonin and hormones like that, right?
Oh, yes. There's a bunch of factors. If it was only one thing, then everyone would sleep well, but sleep is a very, very complex process. So there's a lot of chemicals and processes that work together to help you fall asleep. And sleep is something that happens on many different levels. Like, it's also, you know, psychologically, for example, if you have anxiety, you have cortisol production increasing in your body. That's going to keep you stressed. That's going to keep you from falling asleep. You know, it's also a neurological process. It's a process involving hormones, and it's all of these different things, and that's why we have such trouble understanding it and optimizing it.
Awesome, man. All right, so I guess sort of background, sleep, physiological kind of talk aside, let's kind of dive into the meat of this. So I want to, I know you talk about a number of different sort of hacks and tips in the book, but I want to just sort of keep it simple and take, I guess, like your best five maybe hacks or tips about sleep. Can you do that, man?
Okay. So you just want to a la carte, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just like, okay.
Just want to cherry pick your best ones.
Okay. So I think chapter two of my book talks about this in detail, and it's only $2.99 on Amazon if you want to get more in-depth information. But there's a lot of things that I focus on. Some of the most important are, first you really have to understand what your circadian rhythm is and what it does. Your body goes through 90-minute cycles of sleeping and wakefulness. So you have 90-minute intervals where your energy is either increasing or it's decreasing. And this also happens at night. So each sleep cycle is about 90 minutes long. And during that period, you go through four different brainwave states. You have your alpha waves, which are when you're most awake, and then it goes down to beta, delta, and gamma waves. And again, I might be misquoting here because I'm a little rusty on this, but the deepest wave is when you're in the most deepest sleep, and it's similar to being in a coma, and then you come back up again. So these same cycles of sleeping and wakefulness occurred at night and during the daytime as well. So I would really recommend understanding your circadian rhythm, which is a 24-hour rhythm. And there's actually a really great graphic on Wikipedia that kind of helps explain how your body's internal clock works. And you have rising and falling of energy throughout the day. So most people tend to have their highest alertness around 10 a.m., for example, just after waking up. And then they have a dip in their body temperature around 3 p.m., which is when they feel the most tired. So for me, that's the best time to take a nap. And there's a great graphic on there, so I won't go on in that too much, but it's really important to understand your circadian rhythm, because that's how I kind of structure my day, and it kind of became the backbone for how I work, basically, and how I plan my activities and how I was able to do polyphasic sleep, for example. And so the natural circadian cycle lasts longer than 24 hours. It can last up to 25 and a half hours. So that means our body clocks have to be calibrated constantly. So light exposure is very important. As soon as you wake up, you want to get at least like 15 minutes of sunlight in your eyes to start your body clock. At lunchtime, it's great to go outside and go for a walk for 15 minutes. You know, go out and go have your lunch outside, because that's when you can get the most light. And when that light enters into your hypothalamus, it signals that it's time to be awake. It releases serotonin, which improves your mood. It combats depression. It gives you more energy, makes you more productive, makes you feel better. And that serotonin that you build up during the day, interestingly enough, helps you build as melatonin at night. It converts to melatonin at nighttime. And then similarly, when you want to fall asleep, don't use any electronic lighting. You know, don't expose yourself to any light. I like to use candles, or I'll just keep the light as low as possible at night, because that can kind of trick your brain into thinking that it's still daytime, and that's not good. And interestingly enough, 100 years ago, we actually slept on average an hour more than we do today. And the main culprit is electronic lighting. So should I continue, or do you want to ask a question?
Actually, this is really good, man. I was taking some notes down. I'm really thoroughly interested in some of the stuff you said. But yeah, I'll just kind of interject for a minute. So I guess the first thing that popped into my mind was people on third shifts. Like, for instance, I guess I'm kind of like a night owl. I mean, on my time, you're over in Thailand, it's, I think, 8 in the morning, right?
Yes, 8:40 in the morning now.
Yeah, so like you're on a normal schedule. I'm at 9:30 at night right now, and I'm probably going to be up for another 4 or 5 hours. Definitely like on a night, like a third shift kind of schedule, I guess you'd say. For people like me or night owls or people who have like a regular third shift, you know, where they work the graveyard shift, they don't come back or they don't go to sleep till like something like 6 or 7 in the morning. What is it? What do they have to do? Or can they get better? Or are they better off trying to get to like a normal sort of circadian rhythm where they, you know, get up at like 8 and then they have their high peak at 10 in the morning. And then by noon, they're up enjoying the sun and getting the benefits like serotonin and stuff. Or can they kind of trick or guess hack their body into doing different things, like if they don't kind of fall into that time frame?
It's a really tough question, Justin, because, you know, the human biological clock has evolved over millions of years so that we're adapted to the alternation of day and night. And so when night workers make these major changes, it causes a misalignment between their cycle and their endogenous circadian oscillator. So one thing is, you know, like they tend to sleep less, they tend to have more stress, they tend to suffer from increased rate of diabetes, obesity, and cardiovascular disease. You know, researchers have tried to see if they can trick their circadian rhythm. So, you know, for like hospital workers, for example, work night shifts. And they actually have had some success, but it's very difficult. Like you have to, when they work at night, so they'll use like these bright light lamps, actually quite a few that you can buy on Amazon. And these are really great, you know, when I work. And then they also have to like kind of cut off all exposure to light, you know, when they're driving home from work. So they have to use really dark shades, tint the windows in their cars, stuff like this. And they can actually trick your body clock to run on this schedule if that's what you want to do. But it's the same with like jet lag. You know, with jet lag, you have to be able to demonstrate to your brain, you know, when it's time to be awake and when it's not. If you're not a night shift worker, but you naturally work at night, there could be a misalignment in your body clock. And I would probably attribute that to an inability to sleep well at night. So if most people who are night owls, like they don't really function too well during the daytime. Would you say that's true of you, Justin?
I'd say I start slow when I get up. So it takes me a couple hours to really get into the grind of things.
Okay. Yeah, so that sounds pretty common. But do you have like sleep issues? Do you feel you're not getting enough sleep at nighttime that's causing this?
No, I actually sleep pretty well. I just noticed over time I don't know, I just kind of I guess I work better at night, and I kind of got used to working at night as opposed to during the day more, because I get up still earlier around say 10 or so, which, you know, isn't too early, but it's still early enough. And I still, you know, function that full day throughout the day, but I feel like I kind of peak like say 7, 8, or even now, like I'm at my best, like most kind of like mentally alert.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I was talking about circadian rhythm earlier, and, you know, it's not like it just rises in the morning and then just falls throughout the day. So the body temperature dips around 3 p.m. and then around 5 p.m. you're kind of on your upswing again. You're starting to get on your upswing. So that's when a lot of people tend to work out, around 5 p.m., 6 p.m., you know, just as they get off work, because that's when a lot of when the testosterone secretion is at its highest. So you do kind of have like your second wind towards the going into the evening. Mm-hmm. But during a normal circadian cycle, like it's a good time to start to wind down around 8 p.m. and melatonin production starts around 9 p.m. And melatonin is what the brain secretes to help you signal that it's time to fall asleep, to make you tired. And so what I try to do is like I really try to align my clock to the circadian rhythm as much as I can. You know, what's interesting is that like you can do certain hacks, like I eat pineapple around 5 p.m. and pineapple actually helps increase melatonin production by around, I think I want to say 250%. So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with working at night. There's nothing wrong with being a night owl, but there is definitely swing. I think that the time when we feel the most tired in the daytime is like early afternoon, mid-afternoon. And I never try to work during that time. But I do think that it is good to work at night too. And for me, polyphasic is when you're really, really busy, when you have a lot of stuff to do. And I divide my work into three different categories depending on how much energy I have, you know, how engaged I am. So in my day, like I'll do the most, you know, the frog that you have to swallow the frog. It's like your most important task. I'll do that, you know, the first thing when I wake up, when I have the most energy, when I'm most alert. And then if I'm working at night, I'll tend to do like activities that aren't as intensive because I want to help myself relax. So that might just be like returning emails, uploading photos, you know, things that I don't have to really focus too hard on. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense, man. And yeah, I like that little hack about pineapple eating at like 5 to boost your melatonin around 8. That's pretty cool. I like, yeah, that sounds cool.
Everyone loves that one. And you can also take bananas if you don't live in a tropical environment. Bananas aren't as effective as pineapple, but they can also help increase melatonin production too.
Yeah, that's interesting. What about swallowing those melatonin pills?
Oh God, no! Stay away from this.
Yeah, why is that?
No, don't take any pills. One, I mean, first of all, you don't get the payload. You know, when you take anything in pill form, you're only getting maybe 5% of what's actually in it. You know, it doesn't deliver it effectively. Two, the active ingredient in the melatonin pills is actually cow urine, I think. You know, which is actually some miracle cure from India. But that's the active ingredient in melatonin pills, is that it's cow urine, and there's no real proof that it's actually effective.
Mm-hmm.
So it's much better to help your body to naturally produce melatonin rather than trying to inject it.
Yeah, cool, man. Yeah, and to kind of a last point on that, I don't know why I've been a night owl, and I don't even know why there are night owls out there. I read something, though, a couple of years ago about the boxer Floyd Mayweather. Actually, it wasn't an article. It was like a little video on him covering like one of his training things, and he's a really big night owl. He has like 3 a.m. training sessions, like hardcore training sessions, like during his fights and stuff. And I don't know what it is, but he's like a peak performer. And I'm like looking at, like, I thought I was crazy, you know, staying up to like 1-2 in the morning doing work. And this guy's like a, you know, undefeated pro champion boxer, and he's doing 3 a.m. workouts. But yeah, I guess kind of like, you know, some research has to go into that on why people are more, you know, early bird kind of people or like night owl kind of people. But I don't know. It's interesting. It's kind of an interesting concept, I think.
It is a very interesting thing, and it's a really interesting subject. I'm glad that you wanted to discuss it with me. But that just sounds crazy. I would not recommend working out at 3 a.m., but for some people that might work, you know, because when I was doing polyphasic sleep, I was both a morning person and a night person because I was on the go constantly. Basically, like, my schedule looked like this. Like, I would fall asleep around midnight, maybe 12:30, and I would be up at 4 a.m. And it wasn't because I set up, and that's when my body simply woke up, and I just... And so, like, one practice that I've integrated a couple of practices into my routine, basically. So if you wake up in bed, it's just get out of bed. That's a rule, you know, and if you're an insomniac, especially. And sometimes you have to get your day off to a start that's not great. And also, if you wake up in the middle of the night, like 3 a.m., get up again. You know, don't try to fall asleep again if you're awake. Get up, go out for a walk, you know, read a book, something like this. And for me, this was kind of like stepping into polyphasic sleep. So I was sleeping 4 hours, I think maybe 4.5 hours a night. And then I would take maybe 2 naps during the day for less than 30 minutes. And I did this for like 4 months, you know. And so I was basically just like you, Justin. I was like going out every night till midnight or working till midnight. And then I was up at 4 in the morning and working at 4:30 in the morning, you know, on like some course or making some videos or something like this. So I know the feeling, you know, so sometimes you have to observe what your body wants to do, and rather than try to fight it, because that's when you cause issues. So if you didn't sleep well at night, but your body wants to get up out of bed, get out of bed. And if it's early enough, you know, like 2 a.m, 3 a.m, you can try like 30 minutes later, you can try to fall asleep again. If it's like, you know, 8 or 9 a.m. and you're still tired, just get out of bed, start your day away, you know, the best you can. And then you can take a nap around 3 p.m. or something like that. And, but don't sleep in, because that's just going to throw off your clock more.
Yeah. Yeah. I've noticed that too over the years. If I, like, on the weekends or something, if I want to catch up on sleep, I'll sleep like 9 or 10 hours, or I did, if, you know, used to, and, it just like made me even more tired. Like, you think, oh, I'll sleep more and catch up on it, get some more sleep, rest up. But it's like, it does the opposite. It like makes you like drowsy during the day. It sucks.
Don't remind me of all those weekends I spent in Vegas when I was younger. And everybody wants to go out to the pool party at 11 a.m. And I'm just like, no, thank you guys. You guys go to the pool. I'm going to stay in bed.
So what is, what's your next like big tip? What's the second, I guess, like tip, sleep hack?
Yeah, sure. So there's a lot of them. I think we talked about light exposure. We talked about adenosine. At one point, I think I mentioned about adenosine is that adenosine production accumulates to the activity levels of your brain's neurons. So whenever you take like a really hard exam, for example, you feel really tired afterwards. So the more active you are, like the more mental activity you're engaging in the higher level. It's going to accumulate adenosine at a higher pace. And there are other things that you can do, like exercise, for example. So body temperature affects how well you sleep and how active you are. Body temperature is really important. So when you exercise during the day, whether it's in the morning or around, early evening, that actually increases your body temperature. It gives you more energy. And it actually, when you increase your body temperature in the daytime, your body temperature drops lower at night, which makes you more fatigued. It makes you more tired. And another hack that I use, and this is what really helped me survive during this polyphasic period, was consuming coconut oil. Because I read from some different blogs and some experiments that people have done out there that coconut oil can actually increase your body temperature during the daytime. So when I take, I think, 2 tablespoons, I want to say, of coconut oil in the morning, I find that I'm more alert during the daytime. My body temperature is increased and I'm just more productive in general.
Have you joined the best Facebook group on the planet yet? If not, what the hell is wrong with you? Just kidding. If not, join right now. You are missing out. We have hundreds of awesome, awesome guys in this group every single day sharing their best tips, strategies, advice, and techniques for becoming the best man they can be and you can be. If you're looking to improve, say, your dating, your health, your fitness, your business, your confidence, your social skills, your style, any one of these key areas that goes into being a man, this is the Facebook group for you. Everyone in the group is so connected and we share our best advice and just helpful strategies throughout the week in becoming the best men we can be. Go to EliteManMastermind.com and it will forward you right to our Facebook group. Or you could just go right on Facebook and just search Elite Man Mastermind in the search bar. Either way works, EliteManMastermind.com or search Elite Man Mastermind right on Facebook. But you have to join this group. It is unbelievable the amount of quality men in this group, and it's unbelievable how we're all helping each other out and helping each other become the best men we can be every single day. It's the best way to be connected with other like-minded guys and the best way to be part of this elite man community that's growing and growing. And man, I look forward to connecting with you and furthering our conversation and getting to know you on a much better level. So join me in the group. It's EliteManMastermind.com or just type it right in the search bar, Elite Man Mastermind, when you go on Facebook. I know you're all on Facebook. Everyone's on Facebook. I'm on Facebook every single day, and I love this group, and it is such an awesome community of guys. So I look forward to seeing you there, EliteManMastermind.com.
What is it? What's the deal with increasing the body temperature? I know coconut oil is good because the ketones in it and such, and your body gets the energy from, the fat in it, as opposed to like some of the other sources of glucose and things like that, especially like Alzheimer's patients and stuff. It's, they actually kind of compare it to Alzheimer's and other dementia, forms. They compare it to like diabetes in the brain, where that the brain can use the energy from like the ketones, the coconut oil, because it has like that good fat in it, as opposed to like the glucose from like food that you eat, like sugary foods and stuff like that. Is that right? I know that anyways, but what is it about the increasing temperature part?
Yeah, you brought up some great points. And coconut oil has a lot of different health benefits, for your skin, for your brain, your body. I won't go into all those right now. But as far as body temperature is concerned, our body temperature rises and falls throughout the day, just like your circadian rhythm, and it goes between 36 and 38 degrees Celsius. Mm-hmm. So that's 97 to 100 Fahrenheit, I want to say. So basically, it's kind of like I said, when your body temperature is at its highest is when you're the most awake, and it's lowest when we're asleep. So it gets to its lowest point around 2 a.m., 3 a.m. That's when you have your deepest sleep. So it's one of those processes that kind of helps the body naturally in its process of sleeping and waking. So yeah, it peaks just before 6 p.m. That's when you have your highest testosterone boost. So that's the best time to work out, like 5:30, 6 p.m. And it dips to its lowest point actually at just before 6 a.m. And it also dips after noon, which is why people feel tired and sleepy around 3 p.m. And you also mentioned something else in your question there when you talked about sugar. So I've been in Asia for almost 3 years now, and for me, one of the biggest challenges is keeping away from sugar as much as possible because they put sugar in everything out here. And I find that sugar, for me, tends to be associated with fatigue. And I just don't, high glycemic food, you know, like high calorie food. So you get like a short spike in energy, but then I feel tired throughout the day. So to give myself sustained energy through the day, I really try to keep away from sugars as much as possible and eat low glycemic foods, you know, like lean meats, lean proteins, and raw veggies as much as possible so that I have sustained energy throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. It's like that glycemic crash that a lot of people have. It just totally wipes out like all energy that you get from that little quick little boost in getting that sugar into your system, but it like totally goes down and lasts. Like the crash is like 10 times longer and worse than the benefit you get out of it.
Yeah, exactly. I actually wrote a post about this for Sean Ogle. You know Sean Ogle for Location Rebel?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So I wrote a post on productivity, basically, for him. And they've actually done some tests, like with students, for example, you know, students taking exams and test scores. And they actually found that the meal that they fed them before the test actually affected how well they performed. And that's kind of where I was led onto this path of understanding the difference between high glycemic foods and low glycemic foods, because one gives you sustained energy and the other, it's not a healthy kind of energy. It gets your nerves kind of on, you know, I guess, you know, kind of gets your nerves on edge a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's really important as well. And I find that it actually affects my willpower. So I think that willpower is something that I really try to cultivate during my day. And out here in Asia, like I'll eat chicken rice for lunch, but if I eat something like any starchy foods like noodles or rice or cookies, God forbid, then my willpower goes down and suddenly I just don't feel the same about wanting to work. So I think it's kind of similar to like the correlation in test scores during that test. You know, bread, sugar, they cause a high spike in glucose, but it just can't be sustained. So I think that it's important to, you know, keep away from sugar, keep away from junk food, lean proteins, nuts, water-rich foods, you know, like fruits, vegetables, all really good.
Awesome, man. And what's another good tip for, say, someone rolling around at night, you know, with insomnia? What is the best way for them to get to sleep at that point? Like you talked about some of the stuff you can do during the day. What about when you get to the point where you're kind of already in that insomniac state?
Well, I kind of touched on it a little bit, you know, so even if you should start your day at the same time every day, you know, whether it's 8 a.m., start your body clock at the same time every day. Even if you don't sleep well at night, you have to get off to not the best start sometimes, but also understanding, you know, these sleep cycles, how they work, how your circadian cycle works is really helpful because you understand that your every sleep cycle lasts about 90 minutes. So I tend to assess, you know, how many sleep cycles I get on a given night. And for me, if I get 6 hours of sleep, that's perfect for me. And that's basically 4 sleep cycles. So if I'm getting 3 sleep cycles, I know it's not enough. And, you know, you can get 7.5 hours, which is 5 sleep cycles. That's a little much for me. I like 6 because if I sleep more than that, I have trouble sleeping at night. I won't pass out as quickly as I do because I'm out in like 10 minutes. And I find that 6 hours is perfect for me. And I can also take a nap at around, you know, 2, 3 p.m. for 30 minutes. And then I can get that rebound effect afterwards where I have my increase in energy after that. So if you tend to, you know, I still happen to wake up at night, you know, at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, just because I'm, you know, when I travel a lot, I'm kind of on edge, or if I have stress that I'm dealing with, like that tends to wake me. And if you find yourself in that situation, don't stay in bed. You know, if you're in bed, but you're wide awake and you're just wishing that you would fall asleep, it's not going to work that way. So what I'll do is I'll get up, you know, and I'll spend at least a half an hour or maybe 4 to 5 minutes doing something else. So maybe I'll take a shower. Maybe I'll go outside for a walk. Maybe I'll make some oatmeal, have a meal. drink some water, you know, or maybe I'll do some journaling. Like if I have some anxiety, it's really helpful to write it all out, because I have this, I feel like there's two selves to me, you know, Justin. I have my conscious self and then I have my unconscious mind. And the unconscious mind tends to have its way when we're asleep, you know, so we can't control it. And so what I find is that a lot of the things that we put in our past, you know, memories, unpleasant experiences, you know, like bad experiences, like arguments we had with someone, like an ex or something like this, it tends to surface when we're asleep. And suddenly we'll be thinking about like some ex-girlfriend from like 4 years ago when we're awake at 3 a.m. So I find that it's really helpful to journal, you know, take out a pen and paper and just write everything out. You know, why am I feeling so anxious right now? And then when you write it out, it gets out of your head. And I feel amazing when I go back to sleep. I wake up in the morning, I feel great because I got it out of my system.
Yeah, no, that's a great point you make. Sometimes I'll find myself getting anxious or whatever. Not anxious, but a little like stressed out, or like, and I'm trying to like consciously go back to sleep and it's like not happening. And then it's like, what the hell, this sucks. And you're rolling around. And then next thing you know, you're, you know, thinking about food or thinking about, you know, putting the TV on or something. And a lot of the time, or in the past, I've noticed like trying to fight that through like didn't really work. But if I actually just like stop worrying about sleeping and actually did something else, like sometimes I'll get up and like have a little snack or something, or I'll turn the light on and I'll read a little bit, or journal, like you said. I'll even write some notes and stuff for the next day, or some topics in mind for blogs and or posts and stuff like that. I notice that it's kind of like I'm using up that energy that I have, and then, you know, like half hour later or whatever, I'm like ready to go back to sleep, or I'm like falling asleep as I'm like journaling. And I've kind of noticed that helps me out whenever I get the occasional kind of insomniac stress and late at night.
Yeah, sheer willpower doesn't work. You can't will yourself to sleep. It's impossible. And for me, those 3 a.m. sessions are kind of like a battleground, because it's where my consciousness meets my unconsciousness. And by that, I mean, like, have you heard of ayahuasca, Justin?
Yeah, I have.
So ayahuasca is kind of like the wonder, the wonder drug, you know, like this plant that you, I guess you swallow it, I think. I haven't done it myself, but it helps you integrate those parts of yourself. But for me, I haven't done this ayahuasca. I'm unfortunate enough yet. So for me, it's kind of like where my subconscious mind confronts my conscious mind. And I have like these ghosts of the past, you know, that suddenly come out at night when I'm asleep because I'm unguarded against them. You know, I put them in my past. You know, I haven't thought about them in a long time, but the subconscious mind brings it up. And so for me, like these, I do most of my journaling at 3 a.m. because that's when I have to kind of work through, like say, okay, what is this issue that's still causing me this pain in my body? You know, why has this been unresolved? And then I have to actually confront it. And it's very Freudian, you know, like Freudian talks about, you know, the different parts of the self and being able to integrate these different parts of the self. So for me, it's kind of where I kind of confront that. And I find that journaling is the most healthy activity to help me release this anxiety that I still have stored in my cells and getting it out of my system.
Mm-hmm. Cool, man. I like that tip. Is there another tip you want to mention, Danny?
I don't think so. You know, so going to what I just said, Freud calls it the shadow self. I just wanted to add that. So
shadow self.
Yeah, he calls, or no, it's Jung, sorry, but it's Freud and Jung.
Carl Jung?
It's called psychology, yeah. And so it's negative aspects, unconscious aspects of the personality, which the conscious ego does not identify with, you know. So, and it's largely negative. It's a lot of the qualities of yourself that you don't really want to be part of you, but they kind of still are, and you haven't really gotten rid of them yet. And so, Freud would really say that, you know, like sleep was a chance for the mind to kind of work through a lot of these issues. And so a lot of people look down on sleep. You know, they don't respect sleep, but it's actually a very important process. And, you know, it helps you to get through certain emotions and difficult things in your life. And it helps you, you know, sleep assists with your memory, learning. It helps with muscle gain. You know, it helps to, you know, so many things. And it's a very important part of your life. And I think, you know, spending time learning as much about sleep as you can is definitely time well invested, because one thing that all of us do for our entire lives. And the better you sleep, the better your life turns out, basically.
Awesome, man. And just sort of recapping them in case I missed them. I know we mentioned we get like five tips in. Knowing your circadian rhythm, or circadian rhythm, however you want to say it. Pineapples actually will increase your melatonin production a few hours later, so getting that in. If you're on a regular cycle, I guess like having them around 5 to produce them about 8 when your melatonin starts to go off anyways. Having a healthy diet is very important, evening off your sort of energy levels throughout the day. Having coconut oil actually increases your body temperature, which would give you also more energy throughout the day and then help you sleep better at night. If you're rolling around at night, get up, move around, journal, do something to keep your mind off, I guess, your conscious mind off the worrying, stressing about the sleep. And did I miss one? Because I think that was 4.
Yes, light exposure.
Light exposure, yeah, that's right. So getting the right light exposure throughout the day is obviously very important for your hormones, serotonin, et cetera, production. Danny, that was awesome, man. I really appreciate that. Is there any sort of send-off message you'd like to leave our Elite Man audience, and then also a place that our guys can check out more about you?
Yeah, sure. So I just want to wish everyone listening to this success in your own journey, and you know, whether it's through personal improvement, whether it's through entrepreneurship, whether it's improving the quality of your sleep. If you want to get in touch with me, you can go to openworldmag.com, and I have links to this, to Hack Sleep, as well as my other books on there. I have 5 books, and they're all dedicated to certain like life hacks, business hacks, things that you can do for high leverage that will make a maximum impact in your life. So I have covered some different areas like hack sleep, hacking, email, marketing, stuff like this, as well as mental hacks, things like this. So go check that out. I hope you enjoy it. Also have a podcast where we interview lots of interesting guests. And sending off, I just want to say thank you, Justin, for having me on this show. It's been a pleasure, and I'm grateful for you. Thank you.
Absolutely, man. I really appreciate you coming on and giving our guys such awesome tips and advice. Danny, take care, man, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Justin. Take care.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast interviews with all of our incredible world-class guests from the lifestyle, health, fitness, business, and social worlds absolutely free. Subscribe now, guys, if you haven't already, and enjoy all future episodes. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an awesome review. We really do appreciate it.